Hello, everybody. We have about 1:31, so if you're all right, I'd like to call the meeting to order at this time. So, Mary, do you mind reading the roll call?
Okay. On Teams, we have Tammy Gojiakaku, Henry Cole, John Rockwell, Deputy Chief Keith Barium, Ross Hackinson, Carl Edwards, Jim Goodman, P. Sergeant Preston Fernandez, Pete Rochelle, Scott Roberts, Zach McCray. Here in the room, I have Scott Nelson, David Reed, Nick Sanderstock, Paul Fussy, Scott Stormo, and myself. For the JBEAR representative, I see the 7045 number. Who is that?
Master Sergeant Draves.
Thank you. And did I miss anybody else? Okay. Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
That's great. And I'm not seeing any, but I'll ask. Any special guests today on the line? Hearing none, we can move on to the approval of the previous month's meeting minutes. Has everyone had a chance to read the September meeting minutes? Anybody need a moment? Great. Any requested changes? Okay, moving right along, can I get a motion and a second then to approve the September meeting minutes?
John Rockwell, motion to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Rockwell. And a second?
Good afternoon. This is Carl Edwards, and I will second.
Thanks, Carl. Are there any objections or further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, the motion's passed. We can, if you're all ready, move on to the issues and risks. Okay. Issues and risk logs are up.
Everyone, Mr. Chair, this is Paul. So as you can see, we still have those active issues. So Mary's been sending emails out. She sent them out on August 4th and then again on September 23rd. Still looking to find alternate members for the Southeast and for the federal non-DOD DOI representative. We have not gotten anything back, but we are actively working on it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other questions concerning the issues in risk log? Okay, I think we can move on to action items.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Once again, for the group, this is Paul. We're pretty much testing nonstop. DPS has some the N-70s out in the field. So optimistically, I'm looking at maybe November, December, having Motorola rep come to the user council meeting and talk about the new radios and what they can do, and then hopefully we can get items number 1 and 2 off the list. But that's my plan right now, Mr. Chair, is sometime in November, December.
Okay. These are mobiles and portables?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Any questions? Okay. I can tell you just personal experience, I thought our mobiles were upgradable, and apparently they are not. So if you run into that issue, I feel for you. But anyway, hearing no further questions, do you mind, Mr. Fussy, provide the OMO updates?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So everyone, with the training, Mr. Dan Nelson, he's working on a GDMA programming training video. Mr. Nick Bonifac was kind enough to give him some of the programming forms. So he's been working on that because as we're turning more and more areas on with the TDMA with the talk groups, we're running into some programming issues. So that's what we're working on this one particular training video, because there are specific things that need to be checked into your programming software to make sure that they are working on TDMA and that you can also talk to other individuals that are on TDMA. So we've run into a few hiccups, so that's why we're working on that training video, just to give everybody a background as to why we picked that particular topic. On outreach, all membership agreements have been signed, finalized, and sent back to all the member agencies, so thank you for everyone for getting that done. Next week, I am attending the Alaska Digital Government Summit. That's going to be held in Anchorage. The key themes that they're going to be discussing are cybersecurity, digital transformation, AI implementation, data governance, and fostering collaboration around multiple stakeholders. So looking forward to that training. The ALMR newsletter is completed, and that will be sent out on October 15th. And then Mary will also email it out and put it onto the website. And just as a reminder, all previous versions of the ALMR newsletter, the insider, if you will, are on our website. I have been sending out emails to the agencies regarding their subscriber numbers, because remember, we're trying to bring that number below the 33,000. So Nick and his team, they gave me an updated list. Appreciate SMO for the help with that one. And thanks to the agencies that have submitted forms already, you'll see here in a little bit, we've actually dropped below the 33,000. So thank you for everyone being proactive on that one. I attended the BDA DAS seminar that was sponsored by the Safer Building Coalition in Anchorage on September 25th with Mr. Stormo. Really good information on there. There were a couple of vendors that actually installed the BDA DAS systems there. But the focus was on the changes to the NFPA and the IFC, so the building codes, and what the Safer Building Coalitions have done. They're also submitted some paperwork to the FCC for some changes. I compiled my notes, put them into a PowerPoint, and I sent that out to the state and local fire marshals. If someone else wants those PowerPoints, just email me and I'll get it out to you. But there were some changes in NFPA 1225, and that's what they focused on. And they're very specific to the BDA DAS systems. Mary's working on the renewal for the ALMR website. That's completed every 3 years. So what that means, we're in charge of the ALMR website, so we have to renew our license every 3 years for that one. So we're working on that one. And all cost share amounts have been submitted to Terry except for two, but they were scheduled for payment after 1 October, but we're waiting to see what's going to happen with those two now. They're smaller amounts, but we still want to get those taken care of. The system upgrade, September 8th, the generator and battery backup was tested at the Zone 2 master site. No interruptions to ALMR were observed. Went very smooth on there. We didn't get any complaints from the field about any performance with the towers or any calls. We're still meeting regularly with Motorola regarding closing up the upgrade project. And the SMO and myself, we worked with the Matsu Borough Radio Shop, and we completed turning on TDMA for all the rest of their channels. That doesn't include Palm or PD or Wasilla. That is the Matsu Borough talk groups themselves. And they've been on for about a week and a half now, and we haven't had any issues. So thanks to the Matsu Borough Radio Shop for working with that with us. So slowly but surely, we're getting TDMA turned on. So the September document reviews, the social media account user policy and procedure, the asset management policy and procedure, and the cooperative and mutual aid agreement were updated and sent out. Does anybody have any questions for me before I go to the metrics? Nothing online at all there? Okay. All right, everyone, as I move over to the metrics. So we started looking at our monthly group and individual calls. So we had 1,541,849. Our monthly push-to-talks were 2,455,615. We did have 364 busies. And our monthly sites below 3.9s were 6. And if we start looking, commercial circuit issues were at High Mountain, Pillar Mountain, Sunny Hay, and Woman's Bay. And then we had some power issues at Hill 3265 and Quarry Hill. Those two sites are sort of connected. So if we have a little bit of power issue with one, we have it with the other. No major issues were reported to us with those. On our website, thought I'd bring this up since we're renewing the license on there. Last month, then we had 322 sessions, 695 page views. That's up 12% from the previous month. 90% were new users, which is encouraging. We've been working with that. And then that's what we have for our website. So we're getting more and more use on our website. We've been promoting the videos a lot more. And as I mentioned earlier, as we go to the subscriber counts in our zones, zones 1, 2, and 4, this is a breakdown here of where we're at. And this is the number that we talked about. So last month we had gone over the 33,000 number. We had 224 radios taken off last month, so we're now below 32,812. And I have received more emails from agencies saying they're working to get a subscriber form filled out, sent over to Nick and his team to remove more radios. So once again, I want to appreciate everyone's being proactive on the emails I've been sending out and removing the radios that haven't been on the system for quite a while. Are there any questions on the metrics? So with the metrics, we have some other items. So I'm required to do inspections in the Zone 2 master sites and the off-site storages. So last month, I traveled up to the Zone 2 master site in Fairbanks. I was up there from the 15th to the 17th, conducted the inspection of the backup and maintenance of the system. Didn't see any issues there. I filled out my report and sent that up. During my trip to Fairbanks, I met with many members as I could. I couldn't meet with everyone, but I did meet with members from the Fairbanks Fire Department, UAF Fire Department, and Police Department, Tri-Valley Fire Department in Healy, Anderson Volunteer Fire Department, and also met with the state troopers up there, went and looked at their new dispatch consoles. So they recently had the access consoles installed. So went over there, talked with their leadership, and see if there's any issues or complaints with their setup. We did turn on TDMA for Denali Borough Fire Talk Group, but we did have to turn it back off that following day due to some issues. One of their agencies that have mutual aid agreements with them, there were some TDMA programming issues, so we turned the TDMA back off for that talk group. We're working with that agency. Once they've got the programming completed for their radios, we'll turn TDMA back on for the Denali Borough Fire agencies. I also delivered external hard drive to the Motorola technician up in Fairbanks to use for the network access storage external backup. So we took care of that. And the Alaska Fire Conference is currently going on down in Sitka. That's from September 29th to October 3rd. I know a lot of folks in the fire service are down there right now. And the International Association of Chiefs of Police, that's going to be October 18th to the 21st. That'll be in Denver. So I know a lot of law enforcement chiefs and deputy chiefs will be down up there at the end of the month. Also, October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and it's also Fire Prevention Month, with highlighting October 5th through 11th is Fire Prevention Week. So that's all I have, pending any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Fussy. Are there any questions further on for this? Hearing none, the next item is the system management operations update. Mr. Falstock, do you have anything?
Just a couple small things. Like Paul mentioned with the TDMA issues, it actually is pretty difficult to determine if it is a programming issue with the radio dealing with the TDMA. As a user would experience it would be just a bonk. Most bonks on the user end can appear to be any number of things from audio interrupt to not being able to connect to the site or whatnot. When this particular instance occurs, I can look into the raw logs essentially for the radio and determine, well, at least it shows that the calls go through successfully as if there's no issues. That usually is the first indication to me that there's a programming issue with TDMA, but it is not the definitive issue. If you do have these kind of issues, you know, please call us. You know, I can dig into it and figure out what's actually going on. I may require to see the code plug to verify some things, but it is, like Paul said, an increasingly common problem that's been coming up. Talking about just backups and stuff in general too, and generators and, you know, any of those types of tests, you know, all the sites, the master sites have it, but one particular type of backup power supply that is often forgotten about is the UPS that your computers are sitting on, whether it be the dispatch consoles themselves or your company, you know, laptop or whatever. Typically, those batteries inside those should be replaced every 3 to 5 years. I can tell you from personal aspect, I don't always think about that. And when issues come up and let's say, you know, commercial power goes out, you're abruptly reminded that, you know, that you should do that because the battery's no longer working. Outside of that, I've got nothing else to add.
Wow. All right, sure, brief. Thanks, Mr. Fostock.
I like it.
All right. Any questions? Okay, so I guess we're moving on to the state and DOD updates. Mr. Stormo, you want to start off?
Sure. We've got, as the snow is starting to appear, especially at the higher elevations, we're trying to finish off a few key projects that we've been doing over the summer. One of them is replacing generators up at the Honolulu site, kind of the Parks Highway. That is in progress. Turning up the commercial power line that we worked with a partner down on Arsenis mountaintop site down the South Ridge, which has been an extremely difficult and expensive site to maintain over the years because it ran entirely off generators and a 1,000-gallon diesel tank that had to be fueled throughout the year. So we're hoping to be able to get cut over to commercial power before we're too deep in the winter. And the last one is the Kenny Range site. We are up there right now, but weather has been continually chasing people off, so we are probably not going to, well, I'm positive we are not going to get the LMR equipment pulled out of the gen shelter and into the new shelter on the new tower down there this trip. So we're going to have to watch for weather to get back down there to complete that project, but it's just another example of how difficult it is to do things in Alaska. We have been to that place probably 5 or 6 times over the summer working on this project to put a new shelter, new tower, and move equipment in and out. And we've had contractors do most of the tower and the shelter part. It's just us trying to move all the equipment out and stage it in the gen shelter and now get it moved back. Other than that, just a 1,000-foot or 100,000-foot comment on how the BDA kind of processes are looking like they're supposed to work. If there's a radio signal outside of a building, that radio signal kind of by code is the responsibility of the facility owner to ensure that that radio signal is also available inside of the building, and inside of the building really means everywhere inside of the building. There's just a minor exception of maybe, you know, it doesn't have to be 100% coverage, but it is a very high expectation that in most of the critical places like stairwells or places where people would be in an emergency, that there's great coverage in there, and maybe throughout the rest of the place is supposed to be 90+% coverage. That's not really well known nationwide. There's a few states that are pretty advanced in that process, but the AHJ is typically like somebody from the fire side, so fire marshals or maybe fire chiefs that could be asking those facility managers to make sure that's happening. In theory, the facility managers, if you're building a new facility as an example, should know they're supposed to do that and should be investigating and reaching out and asking those types of questions. And then the radio frequency owner, which in the case of LMR is the state of Alaska office, they've got to have permission from the frequency owner to rebroadcast that frequency inside of the building to ensure that they're not doing any harm outside of the building, which is fairly easy to do if it's not done correctly. So, complicated process. I know in-building coverage is always an issue, but good news or bad news is there's probably a regulatory requirement to hold building owners responsible for fixing that. The reality of it is it's not an inexpensive thing to fix, so it's kind of up to the local government as to how aggressive they want to be on pursuing that. And that is all I have.
Okay. Through the chair, Mr. Stormill, some of the issues that you and I saw in the meeting there are donor antennas and pointing too many at one ALMR tower. Is that something you could talk about just a little bit for the group?
Yeah, I don't think it's because of how limited the need for stuff like BDAs would be in Alaska. I don't know that we're not going to have the same kind of problems that, you know, big cities would have. But whoever is designing and installing the system is required to work with the frequency owner, and we would have to be involved with some of that conversation to make sure they are, you know, directing that signal to the site that would be most advantageous for them and us, and that we are then making sure that nothing they're doing is causing any harm to that site, because you're basically shooting a signal at the site that has the potential to impact the ability of that site to function for everybody else who's, you know, outside of the building if they're overpowering it. So it's a very complicated thing, and there's not a large vendor pool that are experienced in doing this type of work. So, especially up in Alaska, just because we're not full of tall buildings and downtown areas where people are used to doing this type of work.
Okay. Does anybody have any further questions, Mr. Stormill? Okay. So Mr. Woodall is not here today. Is there anybody standing in for him for the DOD? Okay. Not hearing anything. Let's move on to council representatives. We'll start with the state of Alaska. Is there anything from the Department of Public Safety?
This is John Rockwell. Nothing to add at this time. I don't know if Ben is online or not.
Thank you, Mr. Rockwell.
I joined late, but nothing to add at this time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lieutenant. How about Department of Transportation? Any updates?
This is Henry Cole. It says resigned here, which is maybe not quite correct. But today I am starting a new position within the department. I'm not sure if I'm going to remain as the DOT's user council representative or not. Those decisions haven't been made yet. I suspect that Mr. John Clendenin will also be stepping down, so you'll have two new. It's likely, I think, you'll have two new representatives from DOT, but when I learn about that, I'll be sure to pass it on to the group through Mary and yourself. So that's the big one there. That this, I guess, could go in the, it should, action items and risks log just because it's a TBD, but anyway, I should know more hopefully before next month. And then the other thing is, and I just forwarded an email about this to Scott, Tim, or not Tim, sorry, Scott, Paul, and Nick. We've been reached out to by a contractor with the Air Force. They, I guess, have a site on Taylor Mountain at a near Chicken on the Taylor Highway, and are offering to put a, or to support having a repeater installed there at their site with power. That's outside of my kind of world of expertise, so I hopefully can connect you gentlemen to his name is Christopher Van Sluten. I don't know if he's subject to the government shutdown or not. I suspect possibly, but it is Air Force, so maybe not. I'm not sure. But anyway, just wanted to explain what the background is on that request, and that's all I've got for DOT.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cole. I guess I'll have to withdraw your name from the new chairman nomination. So next is all others, and that would be Mr. Edwards or myself. I'll go first. Have nothing new to report. How about Mr. Edwards?
I have nothing new to report also, so thank you.
All right. Anything from the DOD? Is anything from J-Bear?
Hey, this is Andres. We did get our second batch of TDMA from where purchased, approved. So moving forward, based off of everything we're tracking, we should have all the radios, if not majority, because I feel like some will fall through the cracks, going to be upgraded, ready to go when we finally finish it.
Oh, congratulations. Is that all?
Yeah, that is all. And also, you guys are all tracking the furlough, so we are down Miss DeHart, but Sergeant Ray and myself will be here. So if you guys are trying to get a hold of her for whatever reason, make sure you're including Sergeant Ray and myself as well.
Okay, thank you for that information. Yep. How about Eielson? Is there anyone on today for them?
Hey, sir. Sergeant Fernandez here. I'm a part of J-Bear. I'm out in Eielson. I'm also on J-Bear on the 176 wing side of the house. I'm not at Eielson.
To copy that. Do you have anything?
No, I don't have anything at the time, sir.
Okay. Thanks very much. Anybody else on for J-Bear? Okay, moving on. How about Eielson? Okay, how about the Army? Here am I today? All right, so we'll move on to the federal and non-DOD representatives. How about the Department of Justice? Is there anybody from the DOJ? Oh, okay. Department of Interior? Mr. Atkinson? Okay. How about all others?
Nobody.
Okay. Well, let's go on. We'll move on to the municipal representatives. How about municipalities north?
Keith Berrien here. Nothing to add today. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Berrien. How about southeast?
This is Erin Kalwara, and we are actively working on our dispatch console redundancy and resiliency project, which will include connecting to ALMR. So we're very excited about that. And I don't have reports from any other agencies today.
Thank you, Ms. Kalwara. How about Municipality Central?
Hello, this is Tammy. I just want to report that we have a new agency coming online, hopefully this month, towards the end of the month, and that's the Mobile Crisis Team under the umbrella of Central Peninsula Hospital. And it's been a long time coming, and we're waiting for radios to arrive. And then, they've already done their paperwork with the ALMR Help Desk, and looking forward again to having that resource in our community. And that's all I have to report. Thank you.
Thanks, Tammy. Oh, you did. Okay. So we can move on to any new business. Does anybody have any new business to offer up? Mr. Fussy, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So with the user council charter, now's the time for the annual chair and vice chair election / nomination process. So just make sure everyone's aware, October is the beginning of the annual election process. Nominations are done in October, and then the voting occurs in November. So then the selectees can be announced in December, and then they take office starting in January. So after today's meeting, Mary will be sending out the email notifications to all the members, and for those new to the process, the email explains what you need to do. Additionally, when you do respond only to Mary, nobody else, and there's no announcement for who's being nominated, chosen until December. So just make sure email Mary only. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Fussy. Yep, and the contact is Mary, yep, for sure. So, any other new business? Okay, just an additional statement from me. I am aware of, and these are just a few, of absences that have gone beyond 5 months with no contact. So, I'll be sending some memos out to them directly and just to ask, you know, what's up. We're not kicking anybody off the system. That's not the intent. I'm only informing you, those of you who are here, just in case you hear about it. I don't expect you will, but we do have a few that have been missing for a while. So I just want to check up with them and see how things are going. All right, that's all I have. The next meetings will be November 5th and then December 3rd. Is there anything else that anybody wants to bring up at this time? Okay, well, we've covered enough. I'll accept a motion and then a second from anyone who wants to adjourn the October meeting.
I move to adjourn. Keith Berrien.
Henry Cole, I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Paul. The meeting is now adjourned. Thanks, everybody.